chapter number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter number 4 this evening. We're just going to start here, and then we're going to head over to Luke chapter 1 and 2. The question that I guess the thought of tonight is, how many people really worship Christ at Christmas time? And the title of tonight's message is, How to Worship Christ This Christmas. To be honest with you, there are a lot of people, even that claim the name of Jesus as their Savior, that really, truly don't worship Christ at Christmas. Now, you would never hear them use the word Xmas, and they get appalled when people tell them Happy Holidays. But in our lives, are we really, truly worshiping Christ this Christmas? And so some practical thoughts here, some things that hopefully you can take with you and encourage and maybe set this Christmas season up in your mind to maybe really, truly worship Christ this Christmas. Satan's always looking for a way to draw attention away from God. Satan is very good at substituting something else and putting it right in God's rightful place. Doesn't matter. He can even use sometimes good things. As long as it takes God off the throne of our hearts, the devil's perfectly happy. If he can get you focused on even doing something that would be good in the community and forget all about God, he doesn't care what you're doing as long as you're not worshiping God. And during this busy time of year, the temptation is to lose our right focus on Christmas, right focus of Christ. The enemy gains a victory if our presence and our parties and our celebrations keep us from worshiping Jesus. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with presents. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrations. But we must always put them in the right perspective. We must make sure that nothing takes the place of Jesus. At Christ, it's called Christmas because it's about Christ. The Bible says the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And I think the devil is really good at what he does. He's taking something that we celebrate Christ's birth, and then it makes it everything about that but Christ's birth. And he even get it to the point where they start trying to throw out everything that has to deal with Christ. He doesn't care what we worship. He just does not want us to worship God. Some people like to take the coin to phrase that where there's a war on Christmas. And I understand. But it's not really a war on Christmas. It's a war against God. It has always been a war against God. And the devil does whatever he can to get everybody's mind and focus off of Christ. We hear stories of lawsuits about manger scenes needing to be removed. We hear about public schools having to take the Christmas carols that mention Christ out of their programs. We hear so much about stores telling cashiers, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. And it's all part of the devil's plan and the rebellious heart of man against God. And our proper response is people say, yeah, we need to get up in arms, we need to fight. And I understand that. But if we will learn to worship Him and witness for Him, we'll be able to do great things for God. Because I've seen so many people get so worked up inside the fight, they forget to take time to actually worship what they're fighting for. And the God of the Bible demands worship. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. This is not a popular message. This is not something that is something that you'll hear mainstream, because in this world that we live in that has anything goes type atmosphere, they just don't want to hear this. But how many of us really celebrate Christ at Christmas? I know we have a manger scene, and that we should. I know we sing the Christmas carols, and we should. We have Christmas cantatas to reach out, and we should. But what are some ways that we can learn from First Christmas how to really truly worship Christ this Christmas? We should not let Satan deceive us. Now, we are too educated or maybe too sophisticated to make some type of graven image and bow down to it. But we have let the devil trick us sometimes into believing that Christmas is about gifts and decorations and everything else that can take our focus away from Christmas. I like Christmas season. And it was one of the times of year where people actually focus and they're aware of spiritual things. It's one of the few times a year where people know there was a babe in the manger and that that there's something special about that babe, and there's something special that people celebrate it. But there are people in the world who do not even know who Jesus Christ is. And one of the reasons why I enjoy Christmas is because it gives exposure to the birth of Christ. You can normally go talk to someone about Christ and about Christmas more often this time of year. And I know the message has been watered down more and more each year by a secular aspect of Christmas becomes more and more prominent. But you think about the Christmas carols that are playing and some of the Christmas carols that they're humming. There's people who don't even know who Christ is that's singing about Jesus Christ coming to this world. And it's amazing. I think that's kind of cool that they have that in their mind and they don't really even know who Jesus is. Well, you say, why are we in John chapter number 4? Well, in John chapter number 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. And in this story, you see this woman has no idea who Christ is. And that's what I think a lot of people don't really understand, who Christ is and that he was the child that came. This is why we celebrate him. This is why we worship him. But as Christians, how do we really truly worship Christ? Look what it says in chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saved to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. See, this woman had no idea that she was talking to the one true God. And I think sometimes the worship of our Savior that goes on among our believers does not resonate the fact that there is a one true God and what true meaning of Christmas. It should resonate amongst us. And you say, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit to show you how they worshiped that first Christmas. But I want you to read, I want to read verses 20 through 28 just for a second or two to try to get a right focus. It says in verse number 20, and our fathers worshipped, and this is the woman, she's trying to cloud the issue, she's trying to distract Christ. It says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship, ye should neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, that idea that you worship, you know not what. I think that sometimes applies to what goes on in the name of Christmas, even amongst Christians, where we take our focus and put it in the wrong thing. But the hour cometh, and now is, when I like that phrase, I know you've heard me talk about it before, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And I really believe that God's looking for people to true worshipers of God. And do we truly worship God at Christmas? And if you take and step back and you look at how much time we put on everything else and how much time we put on the things of Christmas, are we really truly worshiping God at Christmas? I think God's seeking for someone this year to truly worship him. And how do you do that? We're going to talk about that in a second. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And when a person gets a good perspective of who Christ is, they will really truly worship. Verse 26, this woman learns who he is. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked and the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, what happens is this woman finds out who the Messiah is, and then they go and tell other people about it. The word worship is an old English word, which means worth and ship. Its meaning gives of this idea of great value, of worthy to be honored, and that is Jesus. He is worthy of our praise, our worship, our adoration of our hearts. And today it seems that we put everything else in the place rightfully that belongs to God. We follow after fleeting and temporal things of really no value. We allow our selfish desires to direct our actions instead of obeying God's commands. And all this would really change if we would learn who we really truly worship. This woman had no idea who this Jesus was. And I think sometimes, I know we may know him as Savior, but do we really know him as God? Do we really look to him as God? Do we see him that? Because when we see him as God, everything changes. Having that right vision of God. Okay, so we have six things tonight that how to truly worship Christ at Christmas. Let's go back to Luke chapter number 1. These will move quickly. Luke chapter number 1, some of these things are things we've looked at already this year, this Christmas season. And I like Christmas messages. Some people think that maybe it's a little bit of an overkill to hear about it week after week and different things. And some of the messages are repetitive and some of the things that we've heard in past years. But if we can get our world to focus on why Christ came, it can change our lives. Yes, here, first thing I want you to see is how can we worship Christ at Christmas? Number one is by being obedient. By being obedient. You say, what in the world does that have to do with worship? That has everything to do with worship. And the Bible says if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. Mary here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, and Mary, 38, Luke 1, 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now here's the thought. If we're really truly going to worship God this Christmas, it begins with this and it ends with this, is are we obedient to him? I know we like to have the thought that I'm not some wicked person that puts the word Xmas up. And I'm not someone who's going to put Santa Claus up and around. And I'm not going to do this. And I'm not going to do that. I worship Christ because I come to church. And that is a form of worship. But the Bible's saying is the first Christmas season, we know that Mary worshipped him. We know that Joseph worshipped him. We know that other people worshipped him. How do we see them characterized in their lives? They were obedient. So if we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, we need to learn what it is that God wants us to do. And real worship is being obedient to God. Is there something in your life that is ahead of God? Is there something in your life that you know that God wants you to change and you refuse to do it because you like something too much? You love darkness rather than light. There's something in your life that you just don't want to deal with. Then you're really truly not worshiping God. Say, who are you to tell me that? Well, remember, the word worship means it's worthy and a ship, worth ship. It means that it's worth more than anything else. So if there's something in my heart, say if I refuse, I know God wants me to give up watching a certain TV show, and I refuse it too much because I like it, I enjoy it, and if it's just this one little thing, I can keep it, you're not really worshiping God. You're worshiping that TV show because that thing is taking that priority of your life because you says, I love this more than I love God. And I say, Pastor, why is this a Christmas message? But you think about it. Are we really worshiping Christ this Christmas? And I don't want us to be fooled. I don't want us to just say, hey, I read the Christmas story on Christmas morning before we opened the presents. I'm good. And yes, that's what we're supposed to do. That's part of being obedient. That's part of putting the right perspective on things. But if we really want to worship Christ this Christmas season, it's about obedience. Are we obedient to him? Do we listen to him? Do we obey him? Are we in for what he has to say? Or do we listen to what God's word says and pick and choose what we want? That's what most Christians do. Don't think badly of yourself because that's what most people do, but that's not what we saw the first Christmas. Joseph was told, you know, look, go take Mary, take her to your house or whatever, make her your wife, just don't know her. What does it say? He got right up and did exactly what God told him to do. That is a form of worship. Obeying God, saying, God, you are worthy, you are worth more than anything else, and whatever you ask me to do, this is why I'm willing to do it. And that's what the Bible's saying, Mary saying, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever it is that you want, God, I'm your handmaid. Let's stick with Mary for a second. Second thing I want you to see is by having a heart of worship, or by having a heart for God. Another way you can worship Christ is Christmas. It begins with obedience. And if there's something in our hearts and our lives that we are, maybe we're not willing to give, or maybe we're not willing to tell somebody, or maybe we're not willing to do this or that, even though God's been working in our hearts and minds. And I'm not talking about stipulations that I put on you. I'm not talking about rules that someone else gives you. I'm telling you that God's word says it and God's been working on you about it. And you say, no, that's not true worship. Second thing is, I love the phrase that you see here in Luke chapter 1, verse number 43. When Mary is here and she's hearing from Elizabeth, she comes into Elizabeth's house and we see the end of the greeting in verse number 43 of Elizabeth. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my wombs for joy. And blessed is she that believed, For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And I spent a lot of time this past season and looking at this, that phrase, a lot of thought process in this and a lot of thought process on what really it means to worship Christ at Christmas time. And I believe it means having a heart for God. This word soul, it refers to her psyche, the center of her emotions, her reasoning, her conscious awareness of herself. It's saying, all that is within me, my soul magnifies the Lord. And so many times, if we have a heart for God, it's going to come out. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's what's in us is going to come out. We learned about this in Galatians. What is the flesh, if we are living according to flesh, that is going to manifest all those wicked things we saw in Galatians chapter number five. But if we're living for God and we have a heart for God, we have the Holy Spirit of God leading us and directing us, you know what's going to happen? The fruit of the Spirit is going to come out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. If we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, it has to do with our heart. It has to do with the inside. We can all go and have a show. We can all show up for church on Sunday morning. We can all be part of the Christmas cantata. We can all read the Christmas story. We can all talk about Christ. But Mary is saying, and a true worship is saying, it's from the inside. It's just not outward things. It's not just about putting a manger scene up in front of your house. It's not just about talking about it. It's not just a lip service. It is, my soul doth magnify the Lord. All that is inside of me, it is coming out. It is bursting out. This magnifies God. And you say, how does that show? Well, you think about it. What's some of the things that cause problems around Christmas? Things like argument. Sometimes families get together and they argue. I remember seeing a little video clip as I was reading through the news, you know, this big fight over Thanksgiving dinner. And, it's amazing how sometimes families don't even want to get together because of the fact that they know that there's going to be a problem. What's coming out? You know, the only thing that's coming out is what's already in there. It's just coming out. And sometimes when you see selfishness or you see anger or you see frustration, you see people yelling, you see different things that happen at Christmas time. Yes, we're going to read the Christmas story. I think that's great, but it's the inside of us that really worships God. Any of us can put on a good show. Any of us can look the right part. Any of us can dress the right way. And I'm not minimizing any of those things. But I'm saying that Mary truly worshiped God because her soul doth magnify the Lord. What is inside of her is coming out. She is not fake one little bit. She is here and she is there to worship God. And she is just thankful. And I like the Christmas season because I like to be able to give things to people. I wish I could give more things to people out of a heart of appreciation and a heart of adoration and out of a thing of saying, I appreciate what you've done and I appreciate the fact that you have done these things for me throughout the year and I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate all the things that you do and I love being able to demonstrate that to people. Don't get me wrong. But Mary is saying here, this is from the inside. If we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, it's not just about doing some things outwardly to try to pacify the people that are around so you can say, hey, look at me. Christ doesn't want that at all. He talked about the Pharisees, how they got everything on the outside right, but they were full of dead man's bones. And I know that you're not going to spend 24 hours in a state of prayer on Christmas Day, and I'm not even saying that is what worship is. But I am saying worship involves obedience and worship involves us inside being right and what is right on the inside coming out during the Christmas season. It's magnifying. It's not yelling at the people at the store because they took your parking spot. It's not being impatient in line and not being willing to talk to so-and-so or getting mad and angry because you didn't get what you wanted. You know, all those things that are just boiling up and they boil out of you. They're inside you. And Mary is saying, all that it was within me, it magnifies the Lord. She is just so thankful and she is so blessed. And this is what should come out of us. All that is within us should praise the glory of God, the fruits of the Spirit, It didn't come from me because I'm flesh and I'm wrong. And I know I can't do this. I can't love the person the way I'm supposed to. Only God can do that. I can't have the joy that I'm supposed to because only God can do that. I can't have the peace. Only God can do those things. It's all that is within me. So if you really want to worship Christ this Christmas, and I think we mostly do. I mean, you're here on a Wednesday night. It's December 17th. Next week is going to be December 24th. We're going to have people here. They're here and because they want to do what's right. But if we're really going to worship Christ, it's got to be from the inside. It's got to come from inside. And I know that we have a lot of different activities, and I think it's great to be busy doing good things. But Satan is very, very happy as long as your thoughts and your heart is not adoring the Lord and adoring God and doing it from a perspective of who God is. He doesn't care what you replace him with as long as you replace him. Third thing, and by proclaiming the message of the babe, and by proclaiming, and you see here that not only is it about being obedient, about having a heart of worship, it's by proclaiming, by telling people about Jesus Christ. And this goes along with obedience. This goes along with, we talked about this on the night of the Christmas banquet. If you look in Luke chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17, it says that the shepherds, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. True worship is going to be one that wants to tell somebody else. If you think something is worthy, if you think something is worth it, if you think something is exalted, if you think something highly of something, you're going to want to tell somebody about it. You're going to want to explain it to somebody else. If you really truly think he is worthy, you're not going to be able to be silent about it. Instead, you're going to want to tell people about it. And that's what happens with these shepherds. They go out and they proclaim. And I believe if we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, it involves proclaiming the message. Also, we see that it's by giving thanks. By giving thanks. Now, the shepherds weren't the only one that told other people about Jesus. Look in Luke chapter number 2, verses 36 through 38. There's this woman named Anna, and she gives thanks unto the Lord. And it says, and there was a woman, was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She lost her husband a long time ago. She was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. Now, she has devoted her life to God's work, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now what was happening here is that Mary brings in the babe, Joseph's there, Simeon gives his praise and his worship, and Anna sees the babe, and she thanks the Lord. Now I think a form of worship is thanking God. And it's just realizing where it all comes from. It's saying, okay, this Christmas season, I'm not gonna forget that every good gift cometh from above. And I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to remember that everything that's good in my life, it comes from God. And Anna here, who given her life, we see what two responses she has. She thanks the Lord, and what does she do next? She goes and tells other people. We remember in the Old Testament, there was that story that dealt with Elisha. And the city of Samaria was being besieged by an enemy army, and 4 lepers had been kept outside the city walls with an enemy army camp nearby. And they discover a miracle that God had done. And caused all the people to leave, and the whole camp was empty. Inside the city of Jerusalem, inside the city of Samaria, everyone was starving to death. They were even eating their own children. They just tried to survive. Out here, they think there's this great army, but everybody has left. These 4 lepers say, hey, we're going to go try and see if these people will give us some food. They go out there, they see the whole camp is empty, and they, you know what they start doing? They start eating. Of course, that's what you're going to do. You're hungry. You're going to start eating. They start chowing down. And they go to another tent. They take all the stuff in the tent and they eat. And they said one to another, we do not well this day, as this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And he says, we do not do well. And he's saying, look, today is a day of good tidings, but we're going to hold our peace. Who are we to be out here eating and getting all these good things when inside just a city over there, there is a bunch of people who are dying of starvation and think that they do not know what's going to happen next? Then we need to go tell somebody. And that's what worship is recognizing what he's done and being thankful and telling someone else. Another thought. As I read through the stories of Christmas, I feel that people are satisfied. And that's something that sometimes people struggle with at Christmas time, about being satisfied, being with what the Lord has given you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's saying, look, we do not need to be anxious and worried, that we need to be satisfied with Christ. You see Mary, she says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word." She was satisfied with what God did for her. It talked about how Mary had heard and saw all these things, but she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You look at chapter number 2, verses 34 and 35. Simeon tells Mary that a sword will pierce through thy soul, own soul also. And she was okay with whatever God had for her to do. If this was God's will, this was it. And this is what she was going to do. I honestly believe worshiping God this Christmas season, it begins with obedience. It comes out of a heart for God and having your soul magnify the Lord. It begins with it. You tell people about it. You're satisfied. You're thankful. And last but not least, you don't let obstacles get in your way. In Matthew chapter number 2, that talks about how the wise men, and we talked about it on Sunday night, so we're not going to go through all that again. But there are some obstacles the devil will put in your way to try to get you not worship Christ this Christmas. He'll do a lot of different things to try to rob you of your peace, try to rob you of your joy. He'll do other things to try to help you not to be obedient. The wise men, they had to travel a long time. They had to travel months. They had to go through a horrible, long trip. They had to face peril of dangers. They had to do all types of different things. And they get to the palace and Jesus isn't even there. And then they get to the house and they see nothing but a shack. And you know what? Nothing stopped them from worshiping. Yeah, there are some things that come across our minds that might stop us from worshiping Christ this Christmas. I mentioned earlier time constraints. That sometimes can say, I just don't have time to worship Christ. I don't have time to think of God and think of Christ. Then you're too busy. We're not going to worship Christ unless we take the time to consider Him and consider Him through all things. Family problems. Family disappointments. So-and-so wasn't able to come, or so-and-so didn't stay as long as I thought they should have and didn't get what they wanted. Burning dinner. I'm sure that's something that it would be an obstacle to worship God, is when things don't go the way you expect it. Unthankfulness. You know, sometimes if you give something to someone and they don't respond by just saying thank you or showing appreciation, that can mess up some people's Christmas. But what is the point of Christmas? It's to worship God. Should a person be thankful? Yes. But are we really, truly worshiping Christ? I began thinking about that. And I know there's a lot more different things and a lot of different things we could use as examples. You know, we should sing the songs. We should read the Christmas story. We should tell other people. We should encourage other people. You know, all those things are good. And I agree with them. But ask yourself this question. Am I really worshiping Christ this Christmas? See how much time we put into doing other things beside that goes along with Christmas. That you worship what you know not is what Jesus told that woman. And sometimes people have put so many things in their activity schedule and so many things in their presents and their decorations that they don't really know what they're worshiping anymore. And to be honest with you, the date of Christmas was Jesus born on the 25th and the tree and the gift giving. You know, some of that stuff actually has some pagan traditions to it. And I'm not going to tell you that you should, and that's not for the message tonight, but some of those things have different reasons. And you go back and read in the history, they might turn around and say, why am I doing this? Devil doesn't care what takes your mind off of Christ, right, as long as you take your mind off of Christ. Devil doesn't care if you're being nice and giving gifts to someone else, if that takes you away from the real reason of the season. Devil doesn't care how beautiful your house is if you're not celebrating Christ's birth. The devil doesn't really care what you do as long as you're not being obedient, as long as you don't have a heart for God, as long as you're not proclaiming, as long as you're not being satisfied, as long as you're letting people stop you and not being thankful, the devil doesn't care what distracts you. He's just going to throw things out there to distract you. So ask yourself this question. Do I really celebrate Christ at Christmas? Just take it with you. Chew on it for a little while. Because if we really want to worship Christ, it's not just about reading a story. And I know most people don't even do that. It's not just about singing a Christmas carol. It's not just about the outward show of things. It's about having a heart that magnifies the Lord this Christmas season. And I think you can magnify God during Christmas. I think you can let the things that God has been working on your heart and God has been dealing with you and God has been encouraging you with, and I think it can just shine out and shine forth. Because when Mary had heard that Elizabeth believed her, she just said, my heart doth magnify the Lord. And she begins praising God for his faithfulness. She begins praising God for his mercy. She begins praising God for so many things in that beautiful song that she has. And you go through this book and you see these chapters of the Christmas story, what do you see people doing? You see people that who realized who Christ was, they were worshiping Christ. Are we worshiping Christ this Christmas? That's what they did in the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really like the message. It kind of puts a damper on Christmas. It puts a damper on the way that you do Christmas. But the way that people, they did in Christmas back then, you don't see them giving gifts to each other. You don't see them decorating things. You don't see them going, and I'm not saying there's anything that can point people to Christ. I'm all in for it. I think it's great. But are we really, truly worshiping Christ this Christmas in our houses? And as we get older, we learn things. We start understanding a little bit better. But what are we teaching our kids to celebrate at Christmas time? Let's always put him first. Let's be obedient. Let's have a heart for him. Let's be willing to proclaim it. Let's be willing to be thankful. Let's be willing to be satisfied. And let's not let obstacles stop our worship. Let's not let the little things that come in there ruin our day. Because we're not there just to eat the turkey and stuffing. We're not just there to watch the kids open the presents. We're not just there to have it snow on Christmas. That's not what Christmas is about. Those are all just side benefits. But are we really worshiping Christ at Christmas? Think about that this week. And then ask God what he would have you to do to straighten up your worship a little bit. It begins with obedience. And as you're obedient, God will work in your heart where you have a heart for him. As you have a heart for him, you have no choice but to proclaim him and be thankful. And as you proclaim and thankful for him, you become satisfied. The key is not to let someone steal that worship. You say, the Christmas spirit, you call it whatever you want. Not let something take away your worship of God. That's what really, truly Christmas should be about. Let's go ahead and stand to our